اکبر محمد و آل محمد
کی درخواست ہے کے سلسلے میں مرحوم سید فیصل عباس ان کے والد سید نظر حسین اور زوجہ نظر حسین اور تصور حسین سسر سید اعجاز حسین صاحب اور تمام رشتے دار
من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماءً ولا أرضٌ أرضاً ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم قال فبما أغويتني لأقعدن لهم صراطك المستقيم ثم لآتينهم من بين أيديهم ومن خلفهم وعن أيمانهم وعن شمائلهم ولا تجد أكثرهم شاكرين فقال الله تبارك وتعالى أيضا إن جهنم لموعدهم أجمعين لها سبعة أبواب صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد.
The subject of our speeches for these 10 nights is the seven doors and the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the story of the creation of Hazrat Adam when Allah commanded Iblis to bow down and prostrate in front of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam after Allah blew into him from his soul. But despite the fact that all the angels of Allah without exception fell down into sajda. Iblis was not part of the angels, was the only person who refused, and because of this refusal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threw him out of the divine domain. قَالَ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ. What stopped you from doing the sajda when I commanded you? And he said, قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ. Iblis replied that I am better than him. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. You created him, created me from fire, and you created him from the clay. And this takabbur and arrogance and istikbar, this which was displayed by Iblis for a moment in his life, despite the fact that he performed worship and ibadat of Allah for 6,000 long years. But this one arrogance and takabbur of Iblis earned him the fact that he was not just thrown out from the divine domain, but he became mal'oon till the day of judgment and after the day of judgment. And all of his ibadat and worships became null and void, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, and actually he started to demand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala three things after he realized that he's already thrown out and he has lost all those levels that he enjoyed and that position that he enjoyed, because we know that Iblis was mu'allimul mala'ika, he was the teacher of the angels, but now that he realized that all his position is gone, so he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me long age. And Allah gave him the long age. And second of all, he demanded from Allah to give him tasallut for waswasa, control over the minds of the people in order to deceive them. And third of all, he asked from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that his place should be in the sudurin nas, in the chests of the people. So you find that that Iblis has a long age, and he has control over he has access, instead of calling it control, let us better call it access. He has access over our thinkings and thoughts, and as soon as we try to do something which is good, as soon as we try to do a khair and goodness, as soon as we try to do an ibadat of Allah, you find the deceptions of Iblis arriving in our minds and thoughts. And again, my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafizahullah was saying the reason why we find, so this is actually the reward of 6,000 years of worship that he performed, which was given to him in the life of this dunya, just like the rewards of all the kuffar are given by Allah in the life of this dunya. So because of that reward, he is empowered to have access to our minds. So all he does is to provoke ideas, which we call waswasa. Waswasa is shaitani, satanic deceptions. And as soon as he tries to do some good deed, he always provokes ideas to stop you and block you from doing a good deed. But if you have a bad idea, or if somebody has a haram intention, you don't find anybody blocking him in that. There is no deception coming in his mind. There is no way any Satan or children of Satan would come and block his ideas. There is no reason for them to do that. So This is just because of the 6,000 years of worship. So after he was thrown out by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said to Allah, that قَالَ فَبِعِزَّتِكَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Please pay attention. That now that you have misled me, اب جب کہ تُو نے مجھے گمراہ کر دیا, اب جب کہ تُو نے مجھے گمراہ کر دیا, تو میں ان لوگوں کے لیے تیرے سیدھے راستے پر ضرور بیٹھوں گا. Now that you have misled me, I will certainly sit down for them on your straight path. لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. You never find Iblis sitting in the places of haram. He doesn't need to sit there. Iblis is always found on the straight path to deceive the people. This has to be clear in our minds. And then he said, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Then I'm suddenly going to come towards them from their front side. He's defining his policy before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how I would try to deceive the humankind. This is one of the most important events of the history that we all should be familiar and we should all be knowledgeable about. And I will certainly come from their front side, وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ, and from their back side, وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ, and from their right sides, وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ, and from their left sides, وَلَا تَجْرُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. And you will not find most of them grateful towards you. So most of the human beings will not be grateful towards Allah. Satan has talked about his policy. He's trying to deceive. He's out there to deceive the entire humankind. In another verse, the Holy Quran says, فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I swear to your honor, I will deceive all of them. إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Except those of your servants who are مُخْلَص. There's a huge difference between مُخْلِص and مُخْلَص with the fatha and zabar on the lam. So those people who have been made مُخْلِص by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the ones whom we call them مُخْلَص in ilmul akhlaq. So except your مُخْلَص servants, all of them will be deceived. So we have to understand that if in order for us to save our life and be protected and be successful in both the worlds, there's no other option for us. We have to make sure that we fall in the category of mukhlaseen. Not even the regular level of ikhlas would be serving the purpose. Because mukhlis is a lower level of category of a person as compared to mukhlas. So now, Iblis, we have learned by now, is the one who is sitting on the straight path to deceive us and to take us towards Jahannam, not to let us go and walk on this straight path leading towards the paradise. Instead, he's trying to deceive us and derail us and sidetrack us so that he can mislead us towards the hellfire. But everything else is the hellfire. Everything other than the straight path is the hellfire. The same straight path which inshallah I will mention certain very important details about the concept of Sirat al-Mustaqim at the end of my ashra, because that would be the gist and summary of the whole 10 days or 11 or 12 days of the speeches. The last speech of mine, inshallah. So where I will talk about some of the very informative things about Sirat al-Mustaqim. So basically, Sirat al-Mustaqim is a straight path, which is the one which is thinner, adakku min al-sha'ar, thinner than the hair, adlamu min al-layl, darker than the night, wa ahaddu min al-saif, how it's there in the hadith, sharper than the edge of the sword. The same straight path that we have been heard this information about it. We have to tread the same straight path in the life of this dunya so that we can achieve the paradise.
And this straight path is the one which is walking through the hellfire. So any slight deviation is going to get our souls, ourselves burnt by the flames of the hell. We don't see ourselves burning, we don't realize ourselves burning. That's a different story, why we don't see and why we fail to realize. Again, because of the same reason what I mentioned in the last night's speech, because of those hijabat and curtains of the sins which are available in front of our eyes that block our vision to see the realities of the universe. Malakutu samawate wal al. So those are the personalities and urafa. What to talk of the imams and the prophets who are really high. So those of our urafa and arif mushtahids who have those hijabat taken away with their tazkiyatun nafs and purity and cleanliness of the soul can see the realities which we don't see. So we find that any kind of deviation from the straight path which is so thin is going to take us to a stage where we would end up getting burnt with the flames of the fire. Now, the doors of entry into the hellfire are seven. The second ayat of Quran which I recited in the beginning of my speech, إِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمَوْعِدُهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Jahannam is the place, the promised place for all of them. So we in our Isna Ashari belief system, in the light of this verse of Holy Quran, believe that every single person has to reach the hellfire. ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Then Quran says, later on, then we would provide salvation to those who did taqwa, who had piety in their lives, who were muttaqi. So initially, every single person has to reach the hellfire. And this straight path, whatever scholars say, is passing through the hellfire, which I would define in the end of my speeches, inshallah. So I would elaborate on that further on that night, inshallah. So this straight path is walking through the hellfire. Everybody is supposed to reach the fire. And then who is going to be saved? Only ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الْقُرْآنِ سَيْلْ ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. پھر ہم نجات دیں گے ان کو جنہوں نے تقوی اختیار کیا. So now that taqwa is the only guarantor for our success. It's crystal clear. Now, Satan is sitting on the straight path, deceiving us from four sides, from the front and the back and the right and the left. And Quran cannot be a liar, na'udhu billah. So Satan is trying to deceive us from all the four sides. And we find that what his agenda is to drag us into the hellfire when, as we are trying to walk this fine line of the straight path. And the entry into the hellfire is from seven doors, because the Quran has said, لَهَا سَبْعَةُ أَبْوَابِ. جَهَنَّمْ كَيْ سَاتْ دَرْوَازِ هَيْ. And that's the subject of my speech, the seven doors and the straight path. Jahannam, the hellfire, has seven doors of entry. And those seven doors of entry have been defined by our Mufassireen in the tafsir, that those seven doors are the following: the eyes of the human beings, a door number one of the hellfire; the tongue of the human being, door number two of the hellfire; the ears of the human being, door number three, both the ears; the hands of the human being, the door number five of the hellfire; and the stomach. Kaisi ghiza, kaisa khana, kaisa risk kha rahe hain. Stomach. That's the door number five. And the private parts, which are door number six, and both the feet of the human being, are door number seven of the hellfire. Now the Sharia has been revealed on the Holy Prophet to define rules in very clear terms, so that we do not embrace any confusion or ambiguity what we are supposed to do in our life, how to treat and how to behave, and what to do with these seven parts found in our body and existence if we misbehave, we will enter into the hellfire from one or several doors.
Depends on our misbehavior. Varies from person to person. Some people may end up into the hellfire from all the seven. Some men enter into the hellfire from lesser than seven doors. So, having learned the seven doors of entry into the hellfire, which is available in the existence of every human being, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, over this arrangement, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided with so those articulate rulings to guide us about every single aspect of our existence. Which we would have never been guided without that. There's no way. There's no way, like I always say in my speeches, and I repeat in my speeches, there is no way a person can ever learn anything or any institution on the planet Earth or any academic institution or university can ever teach you anything whatsoever about your soul. If that was the case, it would have been useless and purposeless. پھر تو یہ سارے کے سارے نزول انبیاء اور بعث رسل مرسلین کو مبعوث کرنا انبیاء کو نازل کرنا کتابوں کا نزول revelation of the books and the صحف would have been useless whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never is all wise and hakeem he never performs any abas and useless act so there is no way we can learn anything from anybody about the human soul so no matter how intellectual you may consider yourself to be but you are jahil when it comes to the prophets and you are jahil when it comes to the imams and you are jahil when it comes to the revelation and wahi of Allah because anything whatsoever that belongs to the wahi you have zero access to that information without the prophets and the imams anything of the wahi not even the minutest thing we could have understood without the prophets and the imams and the books not even the minutest thing and that is what is going to save our soul from entry into the hellfire through the seven doors so we will continue to stand in need of the prophets and their revelations and their glorious and luminous teachings and we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as we can for providing us this guidance you know when the people of the paradise will enter finally into the paradise you know the first statement they would make after entry into the paradise jannat mein dakhil hone ke baad pehli guftugu jo ahle bahisht karenge wo ye hogi ke alhamdulillahilladhi hadana li hada wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana allah sari ki sari tareefein us khuda ke liye hain ki jisne hame is silsile mein hidayat di agar wo hidayat na deta to hum ye pa sakte hi nahi the wa ma kunna linahtadiya hum to hidayat pa sakte hi nahi the there was no way for us to get guided So now Satan is there to deceive us and the ways of deception are various which are adopted by Satan because he's smart enough to just imagine for a moment if your local county or city office announces for you that well hey guys we have a very well known fugitive dacoit who has entered into this neighborhood and you have to be watchful about him and this dacoit is on the run since so many years and now he is so much experienced he's so much experienced he can attack your house your neighborhood from various ways and means how much careful you would be if you hear that kind of news in your neighborhood if you would have been locking your door once maybe you would put two locks at the door maybe you would put some steel bars on your windows maybe you can because you have a person who is not an ordinary fugitive this person who has satan is a person who has thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years of experience of deceiving the humans and taking them to hell and there is no comparison to any person like a comparison with a Satan, comparison of any person with Satan, because nobody had that sort of widespread experience of deceiving. Dushmane qasam khurda, someone who had already sweared by the izzat and dignity of Allah that I am going to deceive all of them, I am going to mislead all of them. We have to be watchful. And tonight what I would like to discuss was one of those very common ways that he adopts, which is zinat and tajammul parasti, aur duniya ki ranginiyon ke piche daudna. This is one of the very common ways which I would like to talk about, that is adopted by Satan to drag a lot of, because every human being is different. You cannot compare A to B. You know, it's not a mathematical equation. Every human being is a different existence with a different ethnic background, different set of upbringing, different kind of risk and food he has consumed, different kinds of teachings and information reaching his mind and soul and defining his personality in terms of the noor and zulmat that is available in his spirituality. So you can never compare one with the other. So we have to deal every human being differently, and that's the way he is also dealing every human being, with a different way and means of deception. Because one way of deception simply doesn't work for all. Not everybody can be deceived in the same pattern. But zenith, the jambul parasti, dunya ki ranginiya, the glitter and glamour of this dunya. Lots of people get fooled with this deception of Satan, and they fall prey of the satanic deceptions easily. Because zinat is something that is very good. Dunya is not bad. Dunya is something created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything of this dunya is goodness and khair. We in our Isna Ashari belief system believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the fa'il of khair. He is the one who is doer of khair and goodness. He is not the fa'il of shar. Allah never performs anything which is evil. So Allah, all He does is nothing but khair. This dunya is created by Allah. There is nothing evil in the dunya itself in terms of the existences around us. It's all khair. And that's not what is condemned when we say dunya, we have to keep away from dunya. What we mean is not the dunya dunya. What we mean by that statement is the hubbud dunya, the attachment, the love affair, the attachment that we achieve in the process of the time, in the due process when we are living a life in this world. Usually what happens is we do not have the purity of the nafs and tazkiyatun nafs, we usually fall prey and we end up getting attached to its material belongings. What is the definition of getting attached? How much is called quote unquote attachment and how much is not called attachment in the eyes of the Sharia? The definition to differentiate is as follows. If any kind of attachment that you acquire with any of your material belongings in this dunya is blocking you to perform a duty towards Allah, you must realize now you are attached with the dunya. And if any of the material belongings of this material world is not blocking you from doing your fariza and duty towards Allah, and you are always fulfilling your wajibat and keeping away from all the harams, then you are not attached with this dunya. That's how to distinguish. That's the tool to distinguish. So, zinat to Allah ki banayi hui hai. Qul man harrama zinat Allah allati akhraja li'ibadihi wa tayyibat min ar-rizq. Say, who made zinat haram? You know, zinat is something, the beauties and the nice things of this dunya, they're all created by Allah. You know, so it's not haram to benefit from the zinat of this dunya. Again, the zinat is not haram. Getting attached is something which is condemned in Islam. We should not get attached. But that usually happens. We get attached. And that's the reason we must take our role model from the life history of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wassalatu wassalam. So we find that Imam Hassan alayhi salam, when he used to stand up for the prayers, he used to wear the best of the dresses that he had.
And somebody objected to the Imam Hasan and said, you are wearing such a nice dress. He said, in Allah Jameer and you have Jamal. Allah Jameer hai aur Jamal ko pasand karta hai. Allah is beautiful and He likes beauty. وَأَنَا أَتَجَمَّلُ لِرَبِّي. I'm adorning myself. I'm using this adornment and decoration. I'm beautifying myself for my Lord. And Allah has said, in the Holy Quran, Imam Hassan says, Allah says in the Holy Quran, that خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. That means at the time of prayers, you use the adornment and decoration and zenith. That means you beautify yourself at the time of prayers. I want to wear the best of the dresses for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So wearing the best of the dresses with the purpose of doing zenith at the time of prayer is something which is done by the Ahlul Bayt. Actually, it has been said if somebody has two dresses, one is better than the other, but at the time of prayers, he ignores the better dress and he wears the lesser good or the worst dress at the time of prayers. فَمَا لِلَّهِ اِقْتَصَى. This kind of person is not wearing for the sake of Allah. He did not wear his dress for the sake of Allah. So in Islam, we are benefiting from the blessings is the seerat of Ahlul Bayt. Benefiting from the zenith is the seerat of Ahlul Bayt, which is not haram. But getting attached to those blessings of Allah available in this dunya is haram. And actually the biggest haram in the sharia of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. And if you look into the khutbah of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha, when he says that talking about the seerat of Anbiya, about Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, that he prayed to Allah, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khairin faqir. O my Lord, I am faqir and muhtaj towards what you have sent down for me, what khair and goodness that you have sent down towards me. I stand in need of that. It's a very interesting discussion that we can sometime talk about what is categorized as khair in the sharia. What things are khair? So that we adjust our thinking that if we have those, then we already have the khair, we have nothing to worry about. And if we don't have those things, no matter what we have, it's not called khair. So, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam was the one, Imam Ali says, who used to eat the plantations and vegetations. These plants with the earth generates and raises for the animals. He's talking about the simplicity and simple life of the Anbiya for us to remember, which is the opposite of tajammul parasti. And وَإِن شِئْتَ سَنَّيْتَ بِدَعُودْ صَاحِبِ الْمَزَامِيرِ وَقَارِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ قَارِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, we all know, has a very good voice when he used to recite the Psalms. جب زبور کی تلاوت کیا کرتے تھے تو جانور ان کے قریب اکٹھے ہو جاتے تھے ان کی تلاوت ان کی آواز کو سننے کے لیے قاری اہل الجنہ ان کو کہا جاتا ہے حدیث میں کہ وہ جنت میں قراءت کرنے والے وہ ہوں گے جنت کے قاری آفیشل قاری وہ ہیں تو جناب داؤد علیہ السلام کا تذکرہ کرتے ہوئے مولا کائنات نے کیا فرمایا کہ جناب داؤد علیہ السلام کیا نہ یعملو صفائف الخوص بیدہی جناب داؤد علیہ السلام he used to make boxes or cases of the leaves of the palm tree with his hand. And then he used to sell those trees and make a living for him to eat bread and make a living for himself. This kind of simple life which the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have led. And then he talks about Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, then Hazrat Isa was the one who كان يتوسط نهج البلاغة كان يتوسط الحجر. He used to take a stone in the place of a pillow. That means at the time of sleep, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam used to sleep over a pillow which was made of stone. It's a stone. And he, of course, Hazrat Isa, we all know that he had no house to live.
It's not haram in Islam to purchase a house. But again, we need to understand that the prophets have already led the highest of the examples for us. So there's no excuse for anybody to say it's undoable. So, and then he said that لَمْ تَكُنْ لَهُ زَوْجَةٌ تُفْتِنُهُ. He had no wife to put him into test and fitna and mischief. And lots of people are led to mischief and fitna and haram because of their wives. Or because of some of the husbands also. And this said, it has been prophesied in the, you know, in the hadith that مَحَارِيبُهُمْ نِسَاؤُهُمْ وَآلِهَتُهُمْ بُتُونُهُمْ. In the final days, the mihrab, the focus of attention of the people will be their women. مَحَارِيب unki mihrabein, unki aurte hongi, wa آلِهَتُهُمْ بُتُونُهُمْ, unke khuda unke pet hongi. Unko pet bharna hai. Halal ki naukri ho, haram ki naukri ho, sharabe bech rahe ho, kuch bhi ho, paisa aana chahiye. You don't care kahan se aa raha hai halal haram, sab dekha jayega.
Ye Maulana Kainat ne pehle hi bayan kar diya ki man lam yubale min aina iktasab al maal,
jis aadmi ko ye parwa na ho ki kis source of income se maal kama raha hai, lam yubale illa min aina adkhalahu an-naar. Allah ko bhi parwa nahi ke kahan se usko jahannam mein daal de.
तो पेट भरना इंसान का खुदा है, तो पेट भर जाए. कितनी दौड़ लगी हुई है पेट भरने के सिलसिले में. जो हमारे उरफा कहते हैं कि आप रहे
जबान के ये दो इंच का फासला, तीन इंच की जबान का फासला है कि अब तीन इंच के फासले को उबूर करने के बाद कोई फर्क नहीं है कि ये लुकमा कितना महंगा था या कितना सस्ता था.
उसके बाद तो उसका जायका महसूस नहीं होता. No matter how expensive cuisine or food you are running after,
as soon as it falls into your throat, it really doesn't matter if it was an expensive loaf of bread or it was a cheap food. It doesn't matter. For the sake of this 3-inch of tract, how many people are running after filling up their stomachs? This is. We should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank the Prophet and Al-Bait to provide us the ma'rifat and basirat to understand who we are so that we can behave towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way we have commanded. We are not supposed to sell ourselves and settle for less. Human soul has a higher value. لَيْسَ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ سَمَنٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ. Imam Salih al-Islam says, your souls have no price except the paradise. فَلَا تَبِعُوهَا بِغَيْرِهَا. So don't sell your souls for anything other than that. And don't settle for that.
But there are some people who really don't care. Prophet has already said that مَنْ كَانَ حَمُّهُ مَا يَدْخُدُ بَطْنَهُ كَانَ قِيمَتُهُ مَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْ بَطْنِهِ. Whosoever's حَمُّهُمْ and focus of attention of his life is what enters his stomach. That's the focus of life. कि जिस किसी के का हम गम ये हो कि कैसे मैं अपना पेट भर लूँ. हलाल हराम कोई परवाह नहीं है. ताबूतों की नौकरियां हो रही हैं. भाई हराम की बात होती है लोग फौरन समझते हैं कि हम कोई गैर जबीहा थोड़ी खाते हैं. भाई गैर जबीहा ही फकत हराम थोड़ी है शरीर के अंदर. ताबूतों की नौकरियां हो रही हैं तो वो भी तो हराम ही खा रहे हैं. वो तो सबसे बढ़ के हराम है. वो तो खिंजीर खाने से बदतर है. क्योंकि तुझ बना रहे हैं वैद की तकवीयत है. इससे बदतर तो कोई गुना नहीं है.
So prophet, what I was saying, prophet has said, man kana hammuhu ma yadkhulu batnahu.
Somebody whose focus of attention is what he fills in his stomach.
Kana qimatuhu ma yakhruju min batnihi. His price tag is what comes out of his stomach.
ये है आपकी कुल कीमत जो कुछ पेट से खारिज होता है. इसी की खातिर आपने दीन बेचा है. यही आपकी कीमत है. इसके अलावा तो कुछ मिलेगा भी नहीं.
इसके अलावा कुछ भी नहीं मिलेगा. और ये हकीकत है. पैगंबर मजाज कोई नहीं करते थे. पैगंबर अहले हकीकत थे. हकीकत बयानी फरमाया करते थे. जब मेराज पे तशरीफ ले गए तो आपने देखा कुछ लोगों के सामने तैयब उत्ताहिर खाने रखे हुए मगर उन पाकीजा खानों को छोड़ के नजिस और गिलादत खा रहे हैं.
Prophet at the time of ascension in Miraj, when he was taken as a guest by Allah, he found a bunch of people of his nation and Ummah. You know, they had very nice and clean and nice foods in front of them, but they were intentionally ignoring all those foods. Instead, they were eating garbage. And Prophet asked Jibreel, and Jibreel said that these are those people of your Ummah and nation who had the opportunity to eat halal, but they themselves opted for the halal. So the reality and the batin, every zahir, likulla zahir in batin, every apparent existence has a reality hidden behind it. Whether we see or we don't is irrelevant. That's not relevant to us. And even if we don't see, the reality will still be the same. Har zahir ka ek batin hai. Najis aur haram khano ka batin zilazat hai. جس باطن کو پیغمبر ہمیشہ 24/7 365 دیکھا کرتے تھے, لہذا ان سے برداشت نہیں ہوتا تھا لوگوں کی یہ کیفیت دیکھ کے کہ جو حرام خوری کر رہے ہیں. مسلسل فوراً نصیحت کیا کرتے تھے, گوارا نہیں ہوتا تھا پیغمبر سے, کیونکہ اس کی حقیقت نظر آ رہی ہے, ان کو اس کے اثرات نظر آ رہے ہوتے تھے. تو میں عرض کر رہا کہ بعض لوگ ایسے ہیں معاشرے میں کہ جو اپنی بیویوں کی وجہ سے یا اپنے شوہروں کی وجہ سے جہنم میں چلے جاتے ہیں. اور پیغمبر اکرم کی سیرت کیا تھی کہ پیغمبر اکرم مولا کائنات یہ فرماتے ہیں کہ the holy prophet was such that علم ان اللہ سبحانہ قد ابغض شیئا فابغضہ وَصَغَّرَ شَيْئًا فَصَغَّرَهُ وَحَقَّرَ شَيْئًا فَحَقَّرَهُ. The Prophet knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had considered this dunya to be haqeer and unimportant. So Prophet also considered this dunya to be haqeer and unimportant. Allah considered this dunya to be saghir and lowly. So Prophet also considered this dunya to be saghir and lowly. And Allah considered this dunya to be mabghooz and hated. So Prophet also considered this dunya to be mabghooz and hated. And then Imam Ali says that walaula laula fina, if there was nothing in us except this one thing, that we are attached to what Allah and Prophet hates. If there was nothing else wrong in us except this one wrong only, that we are attached to something which Allah and Prophet hates. This is enough. Kafa. This was enough for us to be shiqaqan lillah wa muhaddatan li amrillah. This would have been enough for us to become the enemies of Allah. That's the reason why it has been emphasized so much in the hadith of the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt and in the Holy Quran. This may be one of the reasons why it has been emphasized, because we, if we get attached to this dunya, we are now attaching to the enemy of Ahlul Bayt. Because dunya is the enemy, love of dunya is the enemy number one, and the reason number one which Allah hates. Isiliye kaha jata hai ke jab tak insaan ke dil mein hubbe dunya paayi jayegi, us waqt tak mausool Ahlul Bayt ki mohabbat حقیقی معنی میں جاگزین ہو ہی نہیں سکتی. کیوں؟ اس سے کہ اللہ تعالیٰ کے دشمن کی محبت اور اللہ تعالیٰ کے دوستوں اور محبوب اور اولیاء خدا کی محبت, یہ دو محبتیں ایک دل میں جاگزین ہو سکتی ہی نہیں ہے. کیونکہ قرآن نے پہلے ہی کہا ہے ما جعل اللہ لرجل من قلبین فی جوفہ, کسی شخص کے لیے اللہ نے اس کے پہلو میں دو دل قرار نہیں دیے.
اگر دو دل ہوتے تو دو مختلف محبتیں بھی آ چکی ہوتی.
دل تو ایک ہی پیدا کیا ہے اللہ نے, یہ تو عبرت کا مقام ہے ہمارے لیے. جب ایک ہی دل ہے تو اس میں دو محبتیں کہاں سے آ جائیں گی؟
یہ تو ہو ہی نہیں سکتا. ایک شخص نے آ کے مولا کائنات سے کہا کہ میں پڑا شخص کو جانتا ہوں, بڑا اچھا وہ آپ کا آپ کو مانتا ہے وہ, مگر اس کے علاوہ فلاں کو بھی مانتا ہے فلاں کو بھی مانتا ہے. آپ نے فرمایا کہ فرمایا کہ امل آن, اس شخص کو کہا کہ امل آن جس شخص کے دل میں دونوں کی محبتیں تھیں, مولا کائنات کی محبت بھی تھی اور ان کے دشمن کی محبت بھی تھی, تو کیا فرمایا کہ اما الان فانت اعور, اس وقت تم ایک آنکھ سے اندھے ہو, فاما ان تعمى واما ان تبصر, اب یا تم دونوں آنکھ سے اندھے ہو جاؤ گے یا پھر دونوں آنکھ سے بینا ہو جاؤ گے. یعنی انسان اگر رسول اہل بیت کی محبت کی طرف حقیقی شکل میں اس طرف تمایل پیدا کر کے اس طرف آ جائے تو دونوں آنکھوں سے بینا ہو جائے گا, اور اگر دشمنان اہل بیت کی محبت کو ساتھ ساتھ چلانا چاہتا ہے اپنی زندگی میں تو مرتے وقت پھر رسول اہل بیت کی محبت اس سے چھن جائے گی اور دونوں آنکھوں سے نابینا ہو کے رہے گا. It's not going to happen that we can love the enemy of Ahlul Bayt. Plus, we can also run away with it and we can say, well, that's okay because we love Ahlul Bayt. We claim that we love Ahlul Bayt. It's okay even if we are inclined towards the Tawhut. Who are we trying to fool? Na'udhu billah. We cannot fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'udhu billah. He is trying to deceive our own selves. It's not going to happen. And la yastami'u hubbuna wa hubbu aduwina fi jawfin insanin. Imam Sadiq al-Islam has said that our love and the love of our enemy does not combine in one person. It cannot combine. So we have to be very clear about it. And then Imam Ali al-Islam says that the Holy Prophet was such that he قضم الدنيا قضما. قضم کہتے ہیں عربی زبان میں کسی چیز کو کنارے سے چبانا, you know, to chew something sideways as if you're not giving importance, you're not holding any importance for that thing. So basically Prophet chewed this دنیا sideways. ولم يعرها طرفا, اور آریتن نگاہ ڈالی دنیا میں, یعنی ایک temporary آریتن نگاہ ڈالی, یعنی جی بھر کے ایک مرتبہ اس دنیا کی طرف تک نہیں دیکھا, اس کی طرف ایک مرتبہ بھی نہیں دیکھا جی بھر کے. Look at what Imam Ali is saying about the Holy Prophet in Nahjul Balagha. And he says, amata qal zikrahu, دنیا کی یاد کو ان اپنے دل سے مٹا لیا. یہاں تک کہ ان کی ایک زوجہ نے, مولا کائنات اپنے خطبے میں فرما رہے ہیں جو بلاغا میں, ان کی ایک زوجہ نے ایک پردہ آویزہ کیا, ون آف ہز وائف ہینگ اے کرٹن ان ہر روم یکون فیہ تصاویر, آن دیٹ کرٹن دیر واز سم پکچرز, سم یو نو پینٹنگز اور سم کائنڈ آف پکچرز اوور دا دیٹ یو نو دیٹ کلاتھ. سو دا پروفیٹ سیڈ ٹو ہر, غیبی ہے انی, take it away from my eyes, isko meri nigahon se ghaib kar do.
Nahjul Balagha,
ghaibi hai anni fa inni idha nazartu ilayhi zakartu dunya wa zakharifa, kyunki jab main iski taraf dekhta hu to mujhe duniya ki ke zakharif aur uski ranginiyan yaad aa jati hain. Yani when I look at such a curtain I remember the glitter and glamour of this
duniya.
Prophet is not even ready to recall about this dunya. Look at the highest possible level and role model that he has set for us.
And, you know, and I go to some of houses of some people. Every year that I travel, I find different curtains. The curtains are changed, the sofas are changed, the setup is changed. You know, we have to have some resemblance. We have to have some resemblance with the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam and their behavior. If we want their shafa'at on the Day of Judgment, then we have to have some resemblance in our behavior. And not to attach with this dunya. And we find that at the end, which is basically the end result of the whole thing which I have been mentioning up till now, Imam Ali alayhi salam says in the khutbah that أَكْرَمَ اللَّهُ مُحَمَّدًا بِذَلِكَ أَمْ أَهَانَهُ. That's the question which Imam Ali alayhi salam has posed in his khutbah. And this is actually to all of us. This is to all of us to remember and to reply and to think. That Imam Ali is asking at the end,
did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah didn't give any dunya to the Holy Prophet. His life was so simple, he used to live, lie down on the floor, on the earth, on the soil. He was to sleep on the soil, he used to sit on the soil, he used to, put patches on his shirt, on his clothes himself with his hands.
يَرْقَى ثَوْبَهُ. He used to put patch on his own shirt, on his cloth with his hand. يَقْسِفُ نَعْلَهُ. He used to stitch his own shoe with his own hand. And يَرْكَبُ الْحِمَارِ الْعَادِّ الْعَارِ وَيَرْدِفُ قَلْفَهُ. He used to ride a donkey without any saddle on the back of the donkey.
وَيَرْدِفُ قَلْفَهُ. And also used to make somebody sit behind him.
Usually in those days, people used to take it as insult. If you are riding your horse, you won't let anybody sit behind you.
This is kind of something which people in the society used to take it as insultive.
Because I am a big shot, why would I allow somebody to sit with me? It becomes tight, it becomes uncomfortable, inconvenient, it's not easy. So it's better for me to be on my own when I'm sitting and riding the horse
or the donkey. But Imam Ali says in Nahj al-Balagha that Prophet used to ride a donkey which was without a saddle, وَيَرْدِفُ خَلْفَهُ, and still he used to make somebody else sit behind him. Look at the simple, sada zisti, Peygamber Akram ki, the simplistic life that he had displayed.
So at the end, the question that he has posed, what I was telling you, is that أَكْرَمَ اللَّهُ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ بِذَلِكَ أَمْ أَهَانَهُ.
کیا اللہ تعالیٰ نے دنیا جو نہیں عطا کی رسول اللہ کو اس رویے کے ذریعے سے رسول اللہ کی کیا اکرام و احترام کیا ہے یا رسول اللہ کی توہین کی ہے؟
یہ سوال ہے جو مولا کائنات نے ہم سب سے پوچھ لیا. کیا ہم سب کو یہ سوچنا چاہیے؟
ہم سب ہی فَلْيَنْظُرْ نَاظِرٌ بِعَقْلِهِ. مولا کہہ رہے ہیں کہ ہر شخص کو اپنی عقل سے سوچنا چاہیے کہ اللہ نے رسول کو دنیا نہیں عطا کی اس پالیسی کے ذریعے سے رسول کا اکرام و احترام کیا یا رسول کی توہین کی ہے. جو شخص بھی یہ کہے کہ رسول کو کچھ بھی دنیا میں سے عطا نہیں کیا گیا اور اس پالیسی کی وجہ سے اللہ نے رسول کی توہین کی, واللہ کذبا, اس شخص نے بہت عظیم جھوٹ بولا اور تہمت لگائی اللہ تعالیٰ کے اوپر. اللہ تعالیٰ کیسے اپنے نبی کی توہین کرے گا؟ اور جب یہ بات ثابت ہو گئی کہ اللہ تعالیٰ نے اپنے نبی کی توہین تو نہیں کی کہ ان کو دنیا میں سے کچھ بھی نہیں دیا, کچھ بھی دنیا میں سے ان کو نہیں دیا, تو اس سے اللہ نے توہین تو نہیں کی. تو جب یہ توہین نہیں کی تو پھر امام علی کیا فرماتے ہیں؟ کہتے ہیں بس یہ جان لینا چاہیے ان انہو قد اہانا غیرہو حیث بسط لہ الدنیا. بس یہ جان لینا چاہیے کہ وہ شخص جس کو دنیا عطا کر دی ہے اس کی اللہ نے توہین کی ہے, اسی لیے اسی توہین کی وجہ سے دنیا اس کے لیے کھول دی ہے.
دنیا کی رنگینیاں پھیلا کے اتنی میسر دے دی گئی ہیں
جن لوگوں کو, ان کو جان لینا چاہیے کہ ہماری توہین کی گئی ہے اللہ کی طرف سے.
نہج البلاغہ, we have been insulted by Allah
because the blessings have been categorized in two categories, either they are material or they are metaphysical. اللہ کی ساری نعمتیں یا مادی ہوتی ہیں یا معنوی ہوا کرتی ہیں. مانوی نعمتوں پہ ہمیں فخر کرنا چاہیے, مادی نعمتوں پہ کوئی فخر نہیں ہے. یہ تو جانور بھی ہمارے ساتھ شریک ہیں انہی مادی نعمتوں میں. اور بہت سے کافروں کو ہم سے زیادہ دلیل اور برہان کی بنیاد پہ زیادہ دی گئی ہیں. اس کا ریزن ہے,
اس کے ویل ڈیفائنڈ ریزن بیہائنڈ دیٹ, وائی اللہ ہیز گیون دوز میٹیریل بلیسنگز ٹو سو مینی آف دا کفار اینڈ منافقین مور دین واٹ ہی ہیز گیون ٹو اس.
دے ہیو ویری ویل ڈیفائنڈ ریزنز. It's not because Allah is respecting them, it's exactly the opposite.
Now you may think, well, Hazrat Khadija also had a lot of money. Hazrat Khadija was a very, very, very poor person. Because no matter what she earned in her life, everything belonged to the Holy Prophet. She brought the whole wealth and put it in front of the Holy Prophet, and all the wealth was spent for the sake of Islam.
Her personal lifestyle was nothing but very simplistic.
فقیرانہ اور درویشانہ زندگی ہی رہی. جتنا بیمار کمایا اس سے کیا فرق پڑتا ہے؟ اپنے اوپر تو خرچ نہیں کیا, اسلام میں مال کمانے کی تو کیسی بھی کوئی پابندی تھی نہیں. یو کین میک بلینز اینڈ بلینز آف ڈالرز فرام حلال. یو کین نیور فائنڈ اے سنگل آیت آف ہولی قرآن اور اے سنگل حدیث فرام دا پروفیٹ اینڈ اہل بیت وچ سیز اٹس حرام ٹو میک منی فرام حلال سورسز. نو یو کین میک ایز مچ منی ایز یو کین فرام حلال سورسز. But all the restrictions in Islam and the teachings of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are on spending your money. How are you spending? That's the whole point. It's not a matter of how much you make. She made a lot of money, yes. But did she spend on herself? Her personal life was very poor. So she remained a poor person. Because she considered this money to be amanat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she delivered that amanat to those two person, to the person whom it belonged. So we find that ایک ہمارے استاد تھے وہ بیان کر رہے تھے کہ ایک اہل معرفت ایک عارفہ خاتون تھی ایک بادشاہ کی نواب صاحب کی سواری گزر رہی ہے بازار میں سے نواب کی سواری گزر رہی ہے لوگ اکٹھے ہو گئے دیکھنے کے تماشا دیکھنے کے لیے بادشاہ سلامت گزر رہے ہیں اپنے حواریوں مواریوں کے ساتھ تماشا دیکھ رہے ہیں چھتوں پہ کھڑے ہو کے لوگ دیکھ رہے ہیں تو یہ اہل معرفت خاتون یہ آئی اور اس نے لوگوں اٹھا کے کہاں آپ اپنا وقت ضائع کر رہے ہیں ان لوگوں کی اللہ نے توہین کی ہے یہ احانت شدہ ذلیل ذلت میں لپٹے ہوئے لوگ ہیں جن کی ذلت کی گئی اللہ تعالیٰ کی طرف سے کہ ان کو دنیا اس طریقے سے عطا کی گئی کہ اسی دنیا میں غرق ہو کے اللہ کی یاد سے غافل ہو گئے. آپ ان کو دیکھیں گے آئے ہیں انسان کی بصیرت ہے یہ ہمیں معرفت ہے جو سکھائی گئی ہے رسول اہل بیت کی طرف سے. وی نیڈ ٹو بی پراؤڈ اوور دیز تھنگس. دشمنان اہل بیت کو اس طریقے سے بعض دشمن ایسے ہوتے ہیں جن کو ہماری یہاں مستدرکین کہتے ہیں. انشاءاللہ آئندہ کسی تقریب میں بیان کروں گا کہ مستدرکین کو کس طریقے سے اللہ تعالیٰ زیادہ دیتا ہے. سو واٹ آئی واز سیئنگ از دیٹ the ma'navi ni'mat of Allah, the metaphysical blessing of Allah has to be remembered and should be cherished about. If we were on that track, if the people of Medina were on that track, they would never let Imam Hussain alayhi salam leave his hometown. Imam Hussain alayhi salam Muharram ki pehli aa gayi aur Muharram ka aagaaz ho gaya. امام حسین علیہ السلام اپنا وطن چھوڑ کے روانہ ہو رہے ہیں مدینہ کو ودا کہہ رہے ہیں. ہی از بیڈنگ فیئر ویل ٹو ہز ہوم ٹاؤن آف مدینہ. بٹ یو فائنڈ نو ون ان دا ہول سٹی آف مدینہ کمنگ ٹو امام حسین علیہ السلام اینڈ سیئنگ او دا سن آف دا ہولی پروفیٹ پلیز ڈونٹ لیو دس ٹاؤن وی آر ہیئر ٹو سیکریفائس اور لائف بفور یو سمبڈی کین ایور ہارم یو. Not even a single person came. This is because of so much. One of the reasons for some people is because of the same attachment that we think we want to save our life. We think we need to protect our lifestyle. Wo kehte na kehte ji maulana hum to yahan rehne ke liye aaye hain aap ye sari baatein na kare hum to yahan rehne ke liye aaye hain ye hum bhi rehne ke liye aaye hain. مگر ہم کس قیمت پہ رہنے کے لیے آئے ہیں؟ دین بیچ کے رہنے کے لیے نہیں آئے ہیں. اپنی اقدار کا سودا کر کے رہنے کے لیے نہیں آئے ہیں. اگر اقدار کا سودا کرنا ہوتا تو پھر امام حسین علیہ السلام کو مدینہ ہی چھوڑنے کی کیا ضرورت تھی؟ مدینہ ہی رہ جاتا ہے. پھر مان لیتے تابوت کو خلیفہ خلیفہ رسول تابوت کو تسلیم کر لیتے. آل دا مراجع وداؤٹ ایکسپشن ہیو آلریڈی گیون دا فتوا دیٹ اف you are unable to practice your religion on any land, it is wajib on you to migrate from that land towards another land where you can practice your belief. Without exception, all the maraji have given this fatwa. Ye kaisi baat hai ki hame to yahan rehna hai? Kyun ye patthar pe lagi hai ki aapko rehna hai? Har qeemat pe rehna hai. What is this nonsense? Har qeemat pe rehna hai. یہ قرآن کی آیت ہے. اگر آپ دین پہ عمل کر سکیں گے تو رہنا ہے, نہیں کر سکیں گے تو نہیں رہنا ہے. ہجرت کر جائیں گے اس سرزمین کی طرف جس سرزمین پہ ہم پہ ویلیوز پہ عمل کر سکیں گے. بیکاز وی آر دا فالوورز آف شیطان. And no matter how much we sell out our values and principles, but we can still, we are still ready to accept and compromise. But there are some people out there who believe like this, you know, we have to live at every cost. These people are called apna dunya. Ye dunya ke fardan hai. The whole hum is related to this matter. And everything of theirs is going to stay in this and stay stuck in this matter. Because they have no manaviyat in their soul and nothing would accompany with their soul except zulmat and darkness in the grave. Because they did not achieve any nur. Imam Husayn al-Islam is leaving his hometown of Medina, and now we find that Imam Husayn al-Islam, when he is invited by Walid, the ruler of Medina, appointed by Yazid, when he invited Imam Husayn al-Islam into his darbar and asked Imam Husayn al-Islam to do the bay'at of Yazid and to take the oath of allegiance. Look at what Imam Husayn al-Islam replies to Waleed. Ayyuha al-Amir, inna ahl bayt al-Nubuwa. Hum ahl bayt al-Nubuwat hain. Wa ma'adil al-Risala. Hum risalat ki kaan hain. Wa mukhtalaf al-Malaika. Malaika ka nazul hum par hota hai. Hum mukhtalaf al-Malaika hain. Wa mukhtalaf al-Malaika. Wa mahbit al-Wahi. Wahi humare yahan nazil hoti hai. Yahan nazil hoti hai wahi. وہ یزید ہو اس کے ہمارے مقابلے میں اور جو شخص جس کی بیعت کا مطالبہ کر رہے ہو یزید وہ یزید اس کا پروفائل کیا ہے وہ یزید رجلن شارب الخمر یزید پہلی صفت جو مولا امام حسین نے بیان کی ولید کے دربار میں کہ یزید شرابی ہے شارب الخمر وقاتل النفس المحترمہ اور محترم جانوں جان کا قاتل ہے جن لوگوں کی جان کو اللہ نے احترام عطا کیا تھا جن کو ہاتھ نہیں لگایا جا سکتا تھا جس بھی شخص کو جس نفس کو قتل نہیں کیا جا سکتا اس کا وہ قاتل ہے اس کی کوئی جسٹیفیکیشن نہیں ہے وہ مؤلن بالفسق اور کھلم کھلا حرام کرنے والا ہے کھلم کھلا حرام کا ایک دفعہ گھر کی خلوتوں میں چھپ کے کوئی حرام کام کریں اسلام کی شریعت میں اس کی حیثیت مختلف ہے ایسے گناہ کی توبہ بھی آسان ہے جو آپ نے خلوتوں میں کیا ہو مگر جو کام انسان کھلم کھلا پورے معاشرے کی نگاہوں کے سامنے ملائے عام کے سامنے مرتکب ہوتا ہے اس کی اس جرم کا کے سلسلے میں رویہ بھی اسلام کا بالکل مختلف ہوتا ہے تو مولا نے کیا کہا وہ مؤلنم بالفسق وہ مثلی لا یبا یوم اسلام اور مجھ جیسا آدمی کبھی اس جیسے آدمی کی بیعت نہیں کر سکتا چنانچہ جب امام نے اپنی پالیسی کا اعلان کیا اور بنی ہاشم بشمول مولا ابو الفضل عباس علیہ السلام کے اپنی تلواریں لیے ہوئے باہر انتظار کر رہے ہیں یہاں جب امام حسین علیہ السلام نے اپنی پالیسی کا اعلان کیا اور مروان ملعون نے یہ جملہ کہا ولید سے کہتے اس وقت حسین کو تم نے جانے دیا بغیر بیعت کیے یزید کی تو اس کے بعد خون بہ جائے گا مگر اس کے بغیر فیصلہ نہیں ہو سکے گا یہی وقت ہے کہ حسین کو قتل کر دو یہ سننا تھا کہ مولا نے کہا کہ جب نظر کا اتقتلہ انت تقتلہ ام ہو کیا تو مجھے قتل کرے نا یہ کس کی ہمت ہے کہ یعنی مجھے قتل کرے اور جب مولا کی آواز بلند ہوئی ابو الفضل عباس دربار میں وارد ہوئے مولا نے روکا اس کے بعد سب بنی ہاشم جب بیت الشرف کی طرف واپس آئے مولا نے اپنی ہمشیرہ جناب زینب سے عرض کی فرمایا کہ بہن اب یہ مدینہ رہنے کے قابل نہیں رہا اب شہر مدینہ رہنے کے قابل نہیں رہا اب کوس کی تیاریاں کرو چنانچہ عبداللہ ابن سنان کوفی یہ کہتا ہے کہ میں اسی دن مدینہ شہر میں وارد ہوا جس دن امام حسین مدینہ چھوڑ کے روانہ ہو رہے تھے اور میں نے دیکھا کہ پورے شہر میں اداسی کا سما ہے ہر طرف اداسی چھائی ہوئی ہے میں نے دریافت کیا کہ اس اداسی کا سبب کیا ہے تو مجھے یہ بتایا گیا کہ آج حسین ابن علی فرزند رسول اپنا وطن چھوڑ کے روانہ ہو رہے ہیں
میں نے کسی سے پوچھا کہ امام حسین کے گھر کا پتہ بتاؤ. جب مجھے پتہ بتایا گیا, اب جو میں بیت الشرف تک پہنچا تو دیکھا کہ ایک ہستی ہے, ایک شخص ہے کہ جو امام حسین علیہ السلام کے بارے میں کہہ رہا ہے کہ جو کرسی پر بیٹھے ہیں خیمے کے دروازے کے باہر, اور کچھ نوجوان ہیں جو امام کے قریب کھڑے ہیں. کچھ ناکے لائے گئے جن پہ سامان تھا, ان سامان رکھا گیا, ان کو آگے بڑھا دیا گیا. اس کے بعد کچھ اور ناکے لائے گئے جن پہ حوضیں تھیں, ان کو ایک ایک کر کے بٹھایا گیا. مختلف بیویاں گھروں سے وارد ہو رہی ہیں اور ناکوں پہ سوار ہوتی جا رہی ہیں. یہ جوان پڑھ کے ان بیویوں کو سوار کر رہے ہیں. کبھی ایک کمسن بچہ آگے بڑھتا ہے اور ایک محترمہ کو سوار کراتا ہے. اب جو میں نے پوچھا تو معلوم ہوا کہ یہ قاسم ہے اور یہ جناب فروہ ہے جن کو سوار کرایا گیا ہے. اسی طریقے سے ایک اور محترمہ کو ایک اور بچے نے سوار کرایا. یہاں تک کہ میں نے دیکھا کہ اب مختلف ہاشمی جوان آگے بڑھتے ہیں اور ایک مخدرہ کو بڑھ کے آگے سوار کرایا. اب جو میں نے پوچھا تو پتا چلا کہ یہ علی کی چھوٹی بیٹی کلثوم ہے جن کو اس شان سے سوار کرایا جا رہا ہے. یہاں تک کہ جب اور وہ اونٹ آگے بڑھ گیا, اب دوسرا ناکہ لایا گیا. یہاں تک کہ ایک بی بی نکل کے باہر آئی, مولا امام حسین اپنی کرسی سے کھڑے ہو گئے. مولا جناب زینب کے احترام میں اپنی کرسی سے کھڑے ہو گئے. اب وہ جوان بھی آگے بڑھا, وہ کڑیل جوان بھی آگے بڑھا, وہ بچہ بھی آگے بڑھا. کسی نے اپنے زانو کو زینے کی طرح سے رکھ دیا, کسی نے ہاتھ کو تھاما شہزادی زینب کو. اس احترام و شوکت سے ناکے پہ سوار کرایا گیا. اور اس کے بعد جی چاہتا ہے کہ عرض کروں کہ وہ وقت بھی آیا عزیزان عددارو کہ جب 11 محرم کو شہزادی زینب جب سوار کرا چکی, تمام کی تمام بیویوں کو سوار کرا چکی, جب ماں کی قدیس فضا کو بھی سوار کرا دیا, یہاں تک اس کے بعد جب امام سجاد اپنے بیمار امام کو بھی سوار کرا چکی, اور اب زینب یکو تنہا کربلا کے میدان میں کھڑی ہے. کبھی ناکے کی بلندی کو دیکھتی ہے, کبھی اپنی بے کسی کی طرف توجہ ہوتی ہے. مگر اس موقع پہ ارباب مقاتل نے لکھا ہے کہ شہزادی زینب نے اپنے بھیا حسین کو نہیں پکارا, اس موقع پہ اونا محمد کو نہیں پکارا, اس موقع پہ جناب علی اکبر کو نہیں پکارا. ارے اس موقع پہ شہزادی نے فرات کا رخ کیا, بھیا عباس کو پکارا. ارے فرات کی طرف سونے والے, ارے کس شان سے زینب کو سوار کرایا تھا, کس شان سے شہزادی زینب کو سوار کرایا تھا. آؤ زینب کو سوار کرو.
أنا لقد ضعف القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعدها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها. فإلهي پرچم الإسلام کو سربلند فرما, پرچم کفر و شرک و نفاق کو سرنگون فرما, انقلاب اسلامی کی حفاظت فرما. تمام علماء ربانیین, تمام مراجع کرام, بالخصوص رہبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سروں پر برقرار, تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیق میں اضافہ فرما, تمام مومنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما, تمام مومنین کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما, تمام مومنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عنایت فرما. ہمیں اس وقت تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک امام زمانہ ہم سے راضی نہ ہو جائے, ان کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما, ہم سب کو ان کے انصار اور اشیاء میں قرار دے. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم بجاہ محمد و آلہ المیمین. یا حسین
I'll say.